You notice what I did. I basically Xeroxed the Pasha. You have the sheet in front of you. And in general, whenever you see a Pasha in the Torah or in Tanakh, so first you have to have an overview of the Pasha. And then once you have the overview, then you can begin to examine it in terms of its significance, both conceptually and otherwise. So if everyone have a copy of this, that would be great. So we actually say the Pasha Zakeda every single day. At least that's what one should do on a daily basis. I've been saying it for decades, for years, from the time I'm a little kid, and I continue to do so, Baruch Hashem. It's been an extraordinary Pasha, one that there's a lot to learn from. I'll just begin by an overview of the Pasha. And we'll see from some of the psukim, I assume you have some familiarity with this, since many people say it on a daily basis. This Pasha, when you look at it, it's clearly divided into two segments. Tvei dinim in this Pasha, like every other Pasha in Chumash and every other Pasha in Tanakh. And what do I mean by that? The first series of psukim, starting with Perek Beis Pasuk Aleph, that tells us, V'Elokim Nisa Es Avraham. Now the word Nisa, by the way, has two translations in Rishonim. One translation, I imagine you probably test. Know, are familiar with, excellent, test. Which means that Hashem is testing Avraham, testing his Emunah, testing his bitachon, testing whether he's committed to Hashem Yisbarach. That's one translation. Other Rishonim translate the word Nisa from the language of, and yeah, you're familiar with this, Lasim al Nes. Lasim al Nes means to unfurl a banner that is essentially held high. Means the Nisayon is designed to do what? To elevate the person. Means as a result of a person passing the Nisayon, the Ramban, he writes very clearly in Chumash that Hashem only tests an individual who's capable of passing the test. He's not going to give you a test which is beyond your capacity to handle. That's what the Ramban writes, a very called Godel. So the word Elokim Nisa Sabram either means to test, as mentioned by Justin, or Nisa means to elevate the person as a result of this event. I just want to continue a few moments if you don't mind. Vayomer Elav Avram, Vayomer Hineni, and Avram right away, the language of Hineni in Tanakh is always the language of I am ready to go ahead and carry out this particular test. I just want to point out, the Rishonim here, when they talk about the first pasuk, Elokim Nisa Sabram, for example, the Radak. The Radak has a Perish Al Torah. Besides the Perish Al Tanakh, he also has a Perish Al Torah. He writes over here, the Radak, he says that the whole idea of Nisayon is something which is difficult to speak about, because Hashem obviously knows exactly whether the person is going to pass the Nisayon or not pass the Nisayon. That Hashem already has foreknowledge. And it's similar to the old problem, how could you have Bechira, how do you have free choice, when in effect Hashem has foreknowledge of what you're going to do? It's a problem that's raised by many of Rishonim. But the Radak essentially poses this as a kind of question. And the Ibn Ezra, called Satsadigo, that the point of this Nisayim was to show the tzidkus of Avraham Avinu, to show his righteousness, to show that he was committed to Hashem Yisbarach in a full-throated kind of way. And there's no question that this Nisayim also has relevance l'dorei doros. It has relevance l'netzach, for the future. Why? Because many have pointed out that the whole concept of Mesiras Nefesh was instilled in us by Avraham Avinu. He was ready to be Mesiras Nefesh. He was ready to give up the life of his only son. And that's why the Torah actually, if you take a look at the next pasuk, where Hashem tells him, Vayomer, kachno es binecha, es yichidecha, asher ahavta, es Yitzchak. What a lengthy description. And Rashi on the spot already comments on this as well. Avram is told, take your son. Right away, Rashi, Kayadua comments, which son? I have another son. Yechidcha. They're both Yechidim. Asher Ahavta. I love them both. Fathers love all their children. And then, to cap the matter, Es Yitzchak. To make it clear that we're talking about Yitzchak and not the other son, that is
Yishmael.
So Hashem goes out of his way to describe what he's going to do. It's supposed to offer him as a korban. As a korban olah. I continue. Rashi has a famous comment as well that Avraham Avinu is very zoriz, midos rizos, which is a very insignificant midah to have. He right away responds with alacrity, with eagerness, with enthusiasm. Zvizim akdim in the mitzvahs, that's a general cloud. The Gemara says in Psochim, the Rashi is pasuk, that a bris milah takes place early in the morning, lechatchila, because of this pasuk. Vayashkin avon bavokeh, zvizim akdim in the mitzvahs. This is a whole chapter on zvizos. People often ask, how do I become a Zariz? By nature, I'm apathetic, I'm indifferent, I'm lazy, I'm, shall we say, I'm full of lassitude. How do I become a Zariz? Answer the Seals of Sharon, by doing these mizrizos. That's how you become a Zariz. There's no other way. There's no magic. There's no mofsim to be performed. There's no alchemist that's going to produce some sort of a potion that will make you into a Zariz. Zrizos comes with, literally, a person beginning to energize himself and beginning to operate in a more effervescent kind of fashion. Anyway, I'll just continue. Now he's chopping the wood. He sees it from a distance. And then, Pasuk Hey, he tells the Naharim, those who accompany him, a very striking expression. Each Pasuk has its own problematica, which I'm not going into right now. I just want to get an overview. Pasuk Bo. What's machelas?
Spices.
That's the knife. The knife that's going to use the knife. Machelas is a knife. Is a sakin. In this case, we're talking about a sakin that's going to be used for allegedly the akeda. What the connection between this term and a cutting implement is discussed in the Gemara and by Mefarshim. What is the nature of this dialogue? It's almost an impossible dialogue to understand. I'm just reading Pasuk Zion, just alerting you to a problematic in the Pasuk. It says, Vayomi Yitzhak al Avram Aviv. Yitzhak says to his father, Avram Aviv, Vayomer Avi. Who's talking?
Vayomer
Yitzhak says to Avram, to his father, Avi. He says, Avi, my father. Vayomer, what does Avram answer? Hineni b'ni. Here I am, my son. What is the nature of this so-called dialogue? It's almost impossible to understand. One of the many problems that exist in this parasha that Mefarshim talk about, I'll come to it shortly. Vayomer, hineh ha'ishva ha'itzim v'yaseh le'olah. He's asking a very obvious question. Where's the korban that you plan on offering? Vayomer Avram, he doesn't directly answer the question. Namely, he doesn't tell his son, you're about to undergo an akedah, but rather, Elokim yirelo aser li'olah b'nidno, Hashem will show us the korban. Vayelchu shneim yachdo. And it continues. Pasuk Tes, Vayavav al hamakom asher amar lo Elokim, Vayivet shom Avram es hamizbech, Vayarech es ha'itzim. He gets all the preparatory steps. Vayakod es yitzhak b'no. Now already comes the Vayakod. Means what? What does he do? Ties them up, ties them down. Vayosim asalam is bech v'malo itzim. Vayishach avom is yado. Vayikach es machalas lishchot es b'no. The language of lishchot es b'no. That language has not been used heretofore. Initially, when Hashem told him what the mission is, what did he tell him? Pasuk Beis v'haleu shom liola. What does it mean v'haleu? Offer him up.
It's more like kadosh expression.
Which one?
The first one, like
okay, I'm not sure what you mean, but okay, I assume you've got to Zvachim. That would explain it. What value? Shom you have? You're saying something of very significant value, but I can't discuss it right now. But here in Pasuk Yud, Lishcho Desbino, Ayikra Ilah Malach Hashem and Hashemayim, Vayomer Abraham, Vayomer Hineni, Vayomer Tishakro Kalana, Vyataslo Meuma. Don't you touch it. Ki Ato Yedati. Now I know. Ki Reilo Kimato, Lo Chasachta Es Binecho Es Yechilcho Mimeni. And then Yud Gimel, Avraham Avinu lifts up his eyes. Just one second. Vayavi ne'ayel achad nechad basvach b'karnav. He sees an ayel caught in the thickets. Vayelach Avraham v'yikach es ayel v'yaleh l'ol tachs b'no. And then, I just want to read a few more psukim. Vayikra Avraham shem alokam Hashem yir'eh. Asher yomer hayom b'har Hashem yir'eh. Very difficult pasuk to translate. What does Hashem yir'eh mean? And then Asher yomer b'har Hashem yir'eh. I continue, you asked me, who asked me this morning about this expression, which is very awkward. What does that mean? A malach calls to Avram Shenis.
Second time.
A second time. When was the first time? Pasuk Yudalf. And he says, Avram, don't touch the child. And now, a second time. You are ready to offer him up as an akedah. I'm going to give you a bracha, and you're going to have sayin that will spread. And because you heard what I said and you listened, pasuk yutes vayasha avam and laara vayakum v'yachal yachal be'er shava v'yish avam be'er shava. Yes. Which pasuk? What's the problem? Excellent. Another good question. There are a lot of good questions here, and I also could ask many more. But I want to really focus on the overview, and so you will have to discuss it with me separately. I just want to point out the following. If you were to divide this parak into two, how would you divide it? Maybe the first part ends where, and where does the second part begin? Be pashtus. The first part is obviously the nisayon, correct? The test that Avraham Avinu is being subjected to, and it goes from pasuk aleph all the way till yud aleph. At Yud Aleph, that's when the Malach tells Avraham Avinu, stay your hand, don't carry out, don't execute this mission, and that goes all the way to the end. That would seem to be the division of this Mizmar. No, basically the first of this paragraph, I'm sorry. We're talking about the first few psukim is the Tzav, the Tzivui Hashem. Avraham Avinu is ready to be Mekayim the Tzivui Hashem, those are 10 psukim. And now, in the last, in the second segment, what do we have basically? What I would call, since he was ready to carry out the mission, the schar. So you want to call this the first 10 psukim address the nisayon, the mission, and then the next 10 psukim address the schar that I'm going to receive. That seems to be, and the reason why I divided the way I did, because you'll take a look now a bit more carefully, and you'll see there are a lot of parallels between segment one and segment two. It's a real briska, classic briska, kind of dialectical that you see over here. First, let me just alert you with something which I'm sure you've seen and noticed yourself. There are different shemos of Hashem being used here. Namely, the very beginning, which shem is used in the first 10 psukim? Oh, Elohim. In the second segment, more or less,
Hashem.
What's the distinction between Elohim and Hashem? Yud kei vav kei? The answer is, one is Midas Adin. Which one is Midas Adin? Elohim. So obviously Midas Adin is being applied here at the very outset. In the second segment, where clearly the Malach stays his hand, so then automatically we invoke what Midah? Yudke Vavke, which is Midat HaRachamim. And essentially what's happening here is Midat HaRachamim is now coming to the fore. I will just point out to you a Rabban in Parshas Emor, and the Rabban is Rosh Hashanah. The Rabban calls Rosh Hashanah Yom Din V'Rachamim. I spoke about this a long time ago, but the Ramban uses that expression. It's an expression that he coins. Why is it a Yom Din Berachamim? The first day of Rosh Hashanah, you know, we read about the birth of Yitzchak. And Yitzchak represents what Midah? Gvura, Pachad, Midas Adin. The second day we read about the Akedas Yitzchak, which was essentially Hashem invoking Rachamim, not to carry out the Akedah. But here you see within the Parsha itself, you have Tzvei Dinim. You have number one, the Midas Adin of Hashem Elohim, and then the Midas Rachamim that, in effect, is mamtik the midas adin that sweetens the midas adin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to go beyond that. Take a look again. What other parallels do you see over here between segment one and segment two? Number one, let's take a look at pasuk aleph. Avraham Avinu bayomer hineini. Right away, where else is this term hineini found in Chumash? Anyone? Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the context of the snare, Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem, correct? That's what it says very clearly at the beginning of Shemos. So there, when Moshe Rabbeinu was called by Hashem Yisbarach, and of course he's designated as the Goel, as the someone who's going to redeem Klal Yisrael. So there, when Hashem appears to him, so there the pasuk says, "Vayomer Moshe, Moshe, Vayomer Hineini." Hineini means I'm ready to carry out the mission. You have it elsewhere in Tanakh as well.
Vayistas, you know, is another parallel.
Yes. Next, parallel number two. Look at the language that Arya mentioned correctly. That the pasuk says, even though you should go in order, but it's fine, you don't have to go in order, let's just list the parallels. Where does it say that language? What pasuk?
Pasuk Yud Gimel and pasuk.
So Yud Gimel is the second segment. Vayisa Avraham Aseinu Vayari Ne'ayel. But where do you see in the beginning? Excellent. Vayisa Avraham Aseinu Vayari Shamog Merachok. So again, we have a parallel. The first time, of course, he's on his way to carry out the mission. The second time around, Hashem provides him with an ayel in order to be a kind of substitution, instead of Yitzhak being offered up in the Akedah, now the ayah is going to be offered up in the Akedah. What else? Besides those two, not next, let's continue.
I have a question.
There's a whole series of them. Let's look at the parallels first before you go ahead and ask your questions, which I'm sure are undoubtedly scintillating and penetrating. But let's first just see what the any other parallels that exist over here. Yeah.
Towards the end, by the bracha.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think we find this other places. Like we have Shemayim, like a kosher Svasayam.
Yeah. So that's the question. Will be a very significant bracha that's being given to Avraham Avinu because he carried out the mission because he was.
Vayochel Yachtov.
Sorry.
Vayochel Yachtov.
Yes, Vayochel Yachtov. And what is that parallel?
It says the same exact words that they went together after he asked them where the sa is, and Hashem will show them.
Excellent. So again, we have another parallel. As Ari mentioned,
that's from Shnei Avinu, the first part.
Yeah, but it's true. But there's still the language is very parallel again. Again, they're both going together in both directions. One of the directions towards the Akeda, and obviously the second time around, it's Baruch Hashem in a different direction where his life is being spared. What else? Anything else that you see, perhaps that
Vayikra?
No, well, Vayikra. That's per se would not be. I want to point out something else, which I think is very, very noticeable. I assumed you would actually notice it pretty quickly, but perhaps you did not. There's one word that occurs here so many times. It's amazing. Every time Yitzhak is mentioned, he's called Yitzhak Bino. Take a look at how many times. In Pasuk Beis, Kach Noaz Binucho. Stay there. Then we continue. Pasuk Gimel. Beis Yitzhak Bino. Number two. Continue. Pasuk Vav. Vayosem Yitzhak Bino. Next. That's number three. Pasuk Zayin. Vayom Hineni Bini. Four. Ches. The Ola Bini. Next, let's continue. Pasuk Tes. Vayakul is Yitzhak Bino. Pasuk Yud. Lishtar es Bino. Next, Yud Beis. Ulachasartes Bincha Sichicha. By the way, in Pasuk Yud Beis, that parallels what? The Pasuk Yud Beis. Kachna is Bincha Sichicha. And again, when he's being spared, his life is being spared. Ulachasartes Bincha Sichicha Mimeni. Continue. Yud Gimel. Vayale Ola. Tachas Bino. Isn't that astounding? Don't we not know by now that Yitzhak is his son?
Why don't we add Ahavascha on that?
What?
Why do we say Bincha, Sichircha, not also like Ahav?
The answer is because prior to the Akedah, so that element I'm going to discuss in a few moments, if you don't mind. That's a very good Ha'ara. Okay, there are many other parallels. I'm not going to really go through all of them, but there are many parallels. You have to really examine the Psukim. If you take a look, for example, the Pasuk Ches, Vayomer Avraham Elokim Yirelo Hasel Yolo Bnei Vayelchu Shneim Yachdom. On the other side, Yudalid, Vayik Avraham Shemalkum Hashem Yireh Asher Amarim Hashem Yirah. I have about a list that I wrote down for myself, about 14 parallels, but I'm not going to go through all of them. But my interest in showing you this is just to indicate that basically what we are observing over here is almost two antithetical elements. One, of course, is Din, and one is Rachamim. But let me just share with you, I was zeichah once to hear from Hagoyin Rav Asher Weiss Shlita, he spoke on the Akedah in my former shul, where I was the Rav for 23 years. And many, many years ago, he had the following to say on this matter, which I thought was really of great import. Obviously, Avraham and Yitzhak must have been on a very lofty spiritual plane. For someone to undergo the Akedah, by the way, please eat all the Ragalach. Otherwise, there'll be a Baal Tashkis. Yeah, honestly. And maybe if you want to make a bracha, you probably need more than one. So I don't know how many. You have to ask Rabbi Ifra. Rabbi who's not here right now, so you'll call him up and ask him what the din is. Anyway, and or Rabbi Shemula. These are the two gentlemen in this yeshiva who have some sense of halacha. They're very into halacha. So the others are all just into lomdus. Anyway, correct. So the point being that Avraham and Yitzhak must have been on a very high spiritual plane in order to even begin to deal with the issue, namely to execute Akedas Yitzhak. Unbelievable. And we know that throughout the generation, many, many Jews, wonderful Jews, have been Moser Nefesh, have given up their lives on Kiddush Hashem. And here, that's essentially what's happening. So, it can only be, who's capable of doing a Kiddush Hashem? One would think that you have to be a Malach Kimana Malach Hashem Tzvokos, in order to go ahead and engage in Kiddush Hashem, be ready to give up your life. And the fact of the matter is that it would seem that that would be the case over here as well, in terms of the Avosenu Akdoshim. We're talking about Avram and Yitzhak from Avosenu Akdoshim. And yet, what's very fascinating, there's a Medrash. I'll just read to you the Lashon of the Medrash. The Medrash, I'll translate it. The Medrash says, Avram reached out to take the slaughtering knife in his hand, and as he positioned the knife over the throat of Yitzchak, so it says, Avram began to cry uncontrollably. And the tears, which of course were tears of compassion for his own son, fell on Yitzchak's eyes. And nonetheless, the Medrash goes on to say, despite this outward display of clearly incredible sadness, Avram's heart was filled with joy. What is going on here? On the one hand, he's weeping bitterly for obvious reasons. He's about to lose a child. Mitzad sheni, he's mali simcha. So the answer, of course, is to the second. He's carrying out the Tzav Hashem. And he obviously is approaching the Tzav Hashem the way one should do in an ideal kind of world. But if his heart was filled with joy, that should have been manifested. Here the Medrash describes Bechi and Demos. So Hagoyin of Rosh Avais to explain the following. He said that let's say Hashem had given Avram Avinu permission to divest himself of all the physicality. Let's say he now became suddenly a malach, someone who's going to carry out the Dvar Hashem. Then Yakeh would not have been much of a nisayo. It would have been easy for him to achieve the test of Yakeh. It wouldn't have been a test. A malach has no emotions. A malach just carries out the Ratzon Hashem. A malach has no bechira, has no choice, nothing whatsoever. The Malach simply does what he has to do. But that's not what Hashem had in mind. Hashem wanted him to take this test, not as a Malach, but rather as a human being, not a Malach. So he tells him, don't take an angel. Act like a father whose only son, whom you love unbelievably, is about to be sacrificed. It's not the sacrifice of a Malach, but you have to somehow transcend all your emotions and offer up Yitzchak to Hashem despite tears, and everything else, and we don't have any conception of this form of nisayon. We don't understand how it's possible for two antithetical emotions to be somehow to be operative simultaneously, namely joy and mourning, happiness and grief. How can they work in unison? How's that possible? So Avraham Avinu somehow showed us how to do it. So now, Rav Asher Weiss interpreted the pasuk that I spoke about a moment ago, pasuk Zayin. He interpreted that. Yitzchak says to his father Avram, Father, here I am, my son. So what does that mean? The question doesn't make any sense, as I told you. Nor does the reply of Avram make any sense. But he said, I'm going to Rosh Hashanah, the following. Yitzchak was wondering, in the course of carrying out the mitzvah, what? Avram Avinu, his father, had ceased to be his father? What, he became a malach? He became somehow an angel? So he said, Avi! My father, he's still my father? What does Avraham Avinu answer? Hineni b'ni, of course. Behold, my son, I'm still your father, I haven't changed. That's how Rav Asher Weiss interpreted this pasuk. Very novel interpretation. But that's not what I'm primarily going to focus on. I'm more interested, actually, so just to show you, as I did, that there are two facets over here, or two phases. One, the nisayon, and then came, of course, subsequently, after the Nisayon, we have the Schar that Avraham Avinu receives for carrying out the Akedah. What is very fascinating to me, and this I'll share with you now, how the Briskers approach this Pasha. Rashi, in Vayera Perichal Beis over here, Rashi, on the Pasuk of Altishach Yonchol Anar, Kiato Yadati, so Rashi says the following, Amr Abba, he quotes a Medrash, Amr Avraham, Avraham says, to Hashem, I want to explain what's going on here. Yesterday you told me, yesterday means a while ago, ki b'yitzchad yikari l'chazara. Means how am I going to be, shall we say, how's my family going to be sustained? Through Yitzchak. V'akshav ha'tomili, al tishach yodkol, v'akshav ha'tomili, kachno hazbincha. Now you tell me, take your son and offer up the Akedah? Is that not a outright stira? Outright contradiction? Through Yitzchak I'm going to have generations. And now you tell me to take Yitzchak to Akedah. Oh, my HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lo achal al b'risei. No, I'm not going to change my tune. Motzah sfosai lo ashaneh. When I told you, I didn't tell you, shchateyu. I didn't tell you to shecht him. What did I tell you to do? Haleyu. What does haleyu mean? Bring him up, says Rashi. Askete, achte. Bring him up and then take him down. Wow. It's a medrash rabba. Unbelievable medrash rabba. But the medrash really is asking a question that Hashem contradicted himself. On the one hand, he knows that through Yitzchak is going to have generations of children. On the other hand, he's telling him to do the akedah. So Hashem says, no, there's no contradiction, there's no stira. So there's a big machlokes of Rishonim over here in the pshat of this pasuk. Vahaleyu. When Hashem told him, Vahaleyu Leola, what does that mean? So the Malbin, over here on the spot, I saw today, the Malbin quotes the Gemara in Titus. The Gemara says in Titus and Davzayin, the Gemara says that, quotes the pasuk in Tanakh, Hashem lo tzivisi, Hashem said, I never commanded it, lo salibi, ze akedah sitzvah. I, Hashem said, Valeu Shom Leola. How could it be that he didn't command? The answer is, Hashem never had in mind that he should be Nishtai. Hashem only said, as we pointed out, what? As he said, Rabbi Weinstein, Valeu Shom Leola. Only to be off as an Ola. But what happened? Apparently, Avraham Avinu misunderstood the Kavanah of Hashem Yisbarach. And what does he go to do, as the pasuk says in Yud? Vayikach es ha'acheles, lishlom es menav. He goes to shecht his son. So there's a very famous Rav Chaim Brisker. Let me just get this Rav Chaim Brisker. I'm afraid I won't be able to get to it. The famous Rav Chaim Brisker that there are who asked Akasha on this approach, which has to be found in Rishonim, but the Malbim is the one who spells it out. He has several kashas on this Malbim or on the Rishonim who subscribe to the Malbim position. If the intention was not to shecht Yitzchak and just to offer him up on the Mizbeach, but the pasuk says, "Lo tib nisas Avraham." What kind of a nisayon is it if you just offer him up on the Mizbeach? That's not a nisayon. Pasuk says nisayon. That's question number one. Question number two, Rav Chaim Brisker asked that Hashem gave him, allegedly, according to this, he told him to go and offer him up, not to shecht him. So how's it possible to say Avraham Avinu, who's a Navi, made a mistake? Avraham Avinu is Muxak as a Navi. There's a whole sugya in Sanhedrin about Avraham Avinu being Muxak as a Navi. If he wasn't Muxak as a Navi, so then how in heaven's name could he offer him up on the Akedah? Maybe he's hallucinating. Maybe he's engaged in self-delusion. Maybe he's, shall we say, just creating this kind of delusion that Hashem told him to do the Akedah. Because I'm asking a Nevuah in the hands of someone who's established as a Navi, so he doesn't make any errors. He can't make any errors. If the intention was that Hashem told him, Lahalosan Sa'alam is back, and he made a mistake and thought the mitzvah should shecht him, then obviously something about his nevuah is lacking. And the Gemara says he was muslim as a Navi. Let me just add one or two more things. A third kasha that Chaim Brisker asked, that we know that the din is by an ola, and that's what he was going to be, Ba'alei Shom La'ola, that you don't have just halal without a shrita. No such thing. You don't have to learn Zvachim and Menachas in order to know that. That's Tugim and Chumash. The moment you offer a carbon like an ola, which is completely consumed on the Mizbeach, there's halah and there's a shrita. So what is going on over here? So the Rav Chaim answered, he disagrees with the Malbim. That really Avraham Avinu knew exactly what the tzivi was, halel the ola, which means everything. Halah, shrita, kabbalah sadam, zvika sadam, like an ola. The din of a carbon ola requires shrita. So when it says here, halel shom the ola, that means that you have to go offer him up as a carbon, a real carbon, with all the trimmings, if I can use such a language. So what's going on over here? So he says, Rav Chaim, the following. Had the Torah simply said, had Hashem said explicitly, Shchotehu, Shechtim, and then there was a tzibui later on that says, Al tishach yochel anar, don't touch him. What does that mean? It means that the second command would contradict the first command, correct? The first command was Shchita, and now what is the second command? No Shchita. Al tishach yochel anar. And so now, Avraham Avinu is obligated to listen to the second command. Whatever Hashem tells you, that you're obligated to do. So if that's the case, that means that he would not have been mekayim the first command because it was negated by the second command. Al tishach yochel chalana, because obviously the second command overrides, or shall I put it in my favorite terminology, the second command trumps the first command. I just love that. I can't get past that. So it's Mavatel, one second, it's Mavatel, the Yitzchak Tzivi Arisha. However, now that Hashem told him, only what? V'halei l'shom li'ola. So even though we said halo means what? K'dei l'shochto, because there's no such thing as a carbon ola without shchita. But it doesn't say explicitly shchateo. So now, when the second Tzibui is told to him, and you chuyit to listen to the second Tzibui, not to shecht him, but since I didn't tell you shateyo explicitly, I only told you what? Haleyu? So there's a psaduk shad in haleyu. What is that? What Rashi says? Askete achte. What I meant was, bring him up, and then take him down. You hear what I just said?
He fills both Tzibuis.
What was that?
And he fulfills both Tzibuis.
That's correct. And thereby, Avraham Avinu fulfills not just the second Tzibui, but the first Tzibui. I heard Rav Solomon. What? Okay, I'll say it again. Had the Torah, because you have to see in the, really, the Tzukim, again, are, as I said, not 1,000% clear in terms of what Hashem wanted. But you can't say Avraham Avinu did not understand the Tzibui of Hashem. He's a Navi. He's Muksak is a Navi. Once he's Muksak is a Navi, of course he understands what Hashem wants. And what does Halel Yolo mean by definition? There's no Olo without all the trimmings, as I said. What are all the trimmings? Number one, the Halor. Shrita Sadam. Shrita Sabeimah. Kabbalah Sadam. Holocha Sadam. Zvika Sadam. Like all the demons that apply to a regular carbon. So if that's the case, that means that Avraham Avinu, when he was told Halel Yolo, means go through the entire process. However, there's a distinction whether Lechatchila, the idea of halal refers to shchita, or halal just means bring him up. Because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told him shchoteyu, shechtim, and then the second tzibui would come, al tishach noncha lanar, which of course he's obligated to carry out, he now has to carry out the tzibui of Hashem, namely don't shechtim. So then what happens? The second tzibui is mavatal the first tzibui. It's okay, how do you say it?
Uproots,
thank you. It uproots the first tzibui. Because the first Tzibui said, Shechtim, and now the second Tzibui said, don't Shechtim. And that's the case, he was not Mekayim the first Tzibui. However, if you understand that when the Torah says over here, Ba'alei Li'ola, then what does it mean? Even though it's true, Halah automatically encompasses all the elements that a Karmel has to have, Shechita, Kabbalah Sadam, Zvika Sadam, Holocha Sadam, the entire 10 yards, as you would say, if that's the case, but since it did not say explicitly in the text, Shechoteyu, so now in the second Tzibui that was told to him, Atishach Yad Kalanar, he's Bukhuri to listen to the second Tzibui, not to Shechtim, but still, since I didn't tell you explicitly, Shechoteyu, but rather, what did I say, Haaleyu, then we can interpret it the way Rashi interprets it. Askite Achte, and as a result, you carried out the Tzibui Hashem. You hear what I just said? This is Rav Chaim Brisker. Shechoteyu. And one second, there are many riots to this, but what I just simply want to show you, that this is a big machlokes of Rishonim. It's not just the Malbim against the Grach, it's actually a big machlokes of Rishonim regarding this matter. I don't know how careful you are when you daven Ashmini Atzeres, and actually we have in the Tefillah of Geshem, I happen to daven Tefillah of Geshem as a Shiat Tzibur, and so I probably know it by heart. I've davened for many, many years. And there's a language there in that field of Geshem. I don't have a sitter in front of me, but it's in my head. And it says the following. It says there, Sachto, Lahoro, Lishachto, Mishmok Doma Kamai. That's the Lashon of the Python. So there's explicitly, it seems like the position of whom? Like the Rav Chaim. Namely, that even though the Horo was, as I said, the Haleu Shom, but Haleu implies automatically that there's an element of Shrita, of a Karban Olah, otherwise it would not be a proper Karban Olah. Anyway, let me just tell you that this is a big machlokes of Rishonim, and I'll just mention something else for Shem Rav Chaim. Can I say one more thing for Shem Rav Chaim? If you don't mind, this also heard from Rav Soloveitchik. Namely, the question is, why did Avraham Avinu wait? Rashi has a famous comment. You probably know the Rashi. But we say the Arkade every day, so I assume it's very popular. And not as popular as I thought it is. But anyway, Rashi has a comment over here. Avraham Avinu is confronted by what I said was a contradiction. There are stiras over here. Outright stiras. First Hashem tells him, Ki bi Yitzhak, Yikar l'chazara. Meaning the Yitzhak is going to be the ultimate Sion, S-C-I-O-N, the ultimate Zera of Avraham Avinu. On the other hand, he tells him, Halei Eliyahu, times we know, he tells him to go ahead and offer him up as what? As a sacrifice. So what's going on here? Is that not an outright stira? Says Rav Chaim Brisker, we have, if you remember, I don't know, I imagine some of you, I'm sure, say this. I can't imagine otherwise. Every morning, Rabbi Shmuel Oyman, B'shoyse midos hatorah nidreshes. So one of the comments over there is the following. שני קסובים. That means if I have two psukim that contradict each other, so now you have to wait till the third pasuk comes into play. And what is the third pasuk that comes into play? The answer is at the end, correct. And that's there's a Rashi here in Chumash, but that's what Rav Chaim Brisker points out. You know, Avraham Avinu was also the reason why he waited, because he wanted to carry that out. But I want to say one more thing before you speak, Ruvein Nachum Shlita, and that is that there's another element here which is very significant, and I think it's probably the most significant element in the entire parsha. Besides all the parallels that I mentioned, and besides the fact that Avraham Avinu had to overcome enormous amount of emotional anguish in the course of sacrificing his son, all that is true, all that is Emes Lamito. But what I would like to stress here is something else. And that is, as I mentioned before, I alluded to it, that the concept of Mesiras Nefesh is clearly a very significant concept, but I would venture to say that more significant than that is the following. That Avraham Avinu is not only about the fact that he was a big tzaddik and achieved a certain degree of personal perfection. Avraham Avinu is about creating a legacy that you pass on to your children and to your children's children. Because he was not only successful in creating a religion of those that were committed to Hashem's Baruch, but passing it on to his offspring. Had he been unsuccessful in this last test, then the value of success in passing all the previous nine Nisyonos would have been essentially, would have been questioned. You know, there were nine Nisyonos prior to this. By the way, the only time the Torah uses the Lashon of Nisa is by this last Nisayon of the Akedah. All the others doesn't say Lashon of Nisayon. What was the first Nisayon?
Machlokas.
Machlokas, but basically, to make Aliyah. That's the first Nisayon of Avraham Avinu. This is the last Nisayon, and it's interesting. Rashi Lechlecha cites the idea that each letter in Yitzhak's name is very symbolic. The tzaddik alludes to the fact that his mother was 90 years old when she gave birth to him. The ches refers to the fact that he was circumcised on the eighth day of his life. What's the next letter? That's the ches. The kuf symbolized the fact that his father was 100 years old when he was born. And the yud symbolized the fact that Avraham Avinu withstood 10 tests. I'm becoming a shtickle citizen. But whatever the case is, because I'm in sometimes in an environment. Sorry?
What was the yud for again?
The tzaddik.
The kuf is for Avraham.
The kuf is for the fact that the tzaddik is that his mother was 90 years old when she gave birth to him. The ches is the fact that he was circumcised the eighth day of his life. The kuf is father was 100 years old, and the yud, his father was good 10 tests. But the point I'm trying to make is simply that often, and this is a very significant lesson that we have to be cognizant of, and I'm sure all of you are cognizant of this. I've said many times that my generation is different than my parents' generation, and my children's generation is different than my generation, and so in your case, exactly the same. But at the end of the day, even though you may have a different approach, you may have a different methodology, you may have a different tone in terms of how you approach things, but what is our interest ultimately? That every one of our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren should be committed to Hashem Yisbarach.
Amen.
Should be Shomri Torah Mitzvahs. Whether you do it through Litvisha flavor, Sfardic flavor, Temani flavor, Misnagdic flavor, Chassidish flavor, Neo Chassidish flavor, and whatever is, shall we say, meets your fancy, that is not so critical. It's critical that we continue the Masaira and the way our Mamshich. And that's exactly what this Akedah is all about. The Akedah demonstrated that Yitzhak Avinu absorbed automatically the values of his father and was ready to be Mamshich with the Mesiras Nefesh. And that's what it's all about. My Rebbe, Arav Soloveitchik, was very different than his father. I didn't know his father, Arav Soloveitchik. My Rebbe was very different than his grandfather, Chaim Brisker, in many, many respects. I could probably talk about it at a great length. And Arav Soloveitchik also has children, very different than him. And that's the way the Rebbe Shalom wants, that each generation should have its own stamp, its own imprint, should have its own methodology. Chazal says it's a Zoya. HaTorah Levesha Surah, Poshetah Surah, Torah takes on different forms, and all of us have our own form, our own approach, and that's good, that's healthy. Yes?
I don't understand, Rosh Hashanah. The Rosh Hashanah said that the Reb Chaim's questions were A, what was the test?
if that was the case, then what was the test? B, it seems as though he misunderstood. And C, that by Ola, there's still Shechita. And it doesn't seem like the Teretz really, it still has a bunch of these issues.
All three questions are answered.
Question number two,
let's start with that. Question number two is, how could a Navi make a mistake? He did not make a mistake.
He's
a Muksak B'Nevua. But the issue is, it doesn't say Shchateyu, it says Haleyu. And again, the way Rashi explains it, Askete Achte. But the reason that I mentioned this, because Rav Chaim Brisker pointed out, that this way is B'Nekan B'Tzivri Hashem. The other way, if it's Nekar, if it's uprooted by the second Tzivri, you're not Mekan B'Tzivri Hashem. If it's Nekar, I date Tzivri
Hashem. But Hashem
didn't want him to shout. Hashem didn't want him to shout. That's Machlokes HaRishonim. That's what I'm saying. Rav Chaim takes the attack of the other one. What was that?
That's why he brought him up and then down.
Correct, exactly. Brought him up and down. All three questions are answered. Okay, I have to go with you and discuss a few things I see. But anyway, my whole point in this entire discussion the way Akai Mahoshin writes, the Akeda teaches us that we have to be ready. I'll end with my brother Shlita, Abaron David. Abaron David asked me a few months ago the following. He said to me, he says in Shulchan Aruch that when the person says Shema Yisrael, you have to be ready to Yimei Nefesh. Do you have that covered in mind when you say Shema Yisrael? That is to say, are you ready to give up your life? I'm going to Moshe Twersky Zatzal, Hashem Yinkom Domo, our salvation's grandson, was killed in the Knesset in Harnof. How many years ago? Several years ago already. He gave a shiur right before his death on what the Gemara says, Omer Abba Akiva, Kol Yomai, Gemara the end of Brachas, Kol Yomai, I was worried about how am I going to encounter this person. Namely, Yehavtas Hashem Olkecha, Bechol Abba even if it takes my life. And a week later, his life was taken on Kiddush Hashem. So my brother said to me, brother Chaim Arukin, he said that, are you have that kavana when you say Shema Yisrael? And then, of course, my brother said, Neila, Neila! 20 times. Isn't that Neila? So I said, I'm sure that he has that kavana. And then my brother said, it says in Shulchan Aruch, you don't have the kavanah, you're not yisrael kriyishma. So my brother says to me, how many people are yisrael kriyishma? I said, I'm sure every single Jew has that kavanah. Maybe not, shall we say, consciously, but deep down, every Jew has that kavanah. Every Jew is ready to yisrael nefesh. That should be the extent of our commitment to Yiddishkeit and to Yadus. We're ready to yisrael nefesh. Because the life of a religious Jew is, there's nothing comparable to it. We live in a world which is, I think you'll be masking, crazy. The world is crazy, surrounded with crazy people, with crazy hashkofas, with crazy values. People are walking around deranged, insane. Mentally, I would say they are out of the box from every standpoint.
There's some screws.
That's right, more than a few screws are loose. And the only ones, according to my humble opinion, who are really following a methodology which is time-tested, hundreds and thousands of years, are Shomrei Torah Mitzvah students. So you, all of you here who are learning in yeshiva, have such a golden opportunity to become B'nai Torah at the highest of levels, understand what it means to be committed to Hashem Yisbarach, to His Torah, to His mitzvahs, to live a life which is so wholesome and so sweet and so beautiful. Maybe my brother would say, a Neira life! I don't know if he would say that. But a life that's in a positive sense. What could be more wholesome? And that is taught to us by Avram Avinu and Yitzchak Avinu. I will say my question. Our lives should be absorbing this lesson of Mesiras Nefesh, relative Mesiras Nefesh, Makadosh Baruch Hu, Mesiras Teira. Reza Hashem, halavai, we should not have to be Mitzvah Levis, we should live Al Kiddush Hashem. Now, v'chai bohem!
Amen.
Roshem is lehem. Roshem will give us all, Seattle.
Amen.